Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Did you see the Melissa McCarthy video where she was like chanting about...
I did. Yeah, I saw it.
Hey, welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It's me, Eric Williams, with this new episode with the one and only Drew Droege. Let me tell y'all a story. My producer, Jonathan, texts me. He's like, by the way, would you want to have Drew Droege on the podcast? We're neighbors. I know him. And I was like, yeah, babe. Hard yes. I've been a fan of Drew's for literally years and years. And so we scheduled the interview. It is, I mean, just lovely. And I had such a connection with him. I was like, I know this is strange because I met him all of 4 seconds ago, but I'm having some friends over for like a little gathering, gay gathering at our apartment. And I'm going to invite Drew. I invited Drew. He was like, this sounds lovely. I'm going to come. Drew shows up. It was like so great. I smoked weed with him on the balcony. It was just like, I was like, this is why I wanted to move to LA, to get high with Drew Droege on a balcony in the East Side. So if that is any indication of how this episode is, I just love the man like I love my own sister. I do not have a sister, so Drew is now family. I do want to say up top in the episode, we do talk about the Oscars. Of course, this was recorded before the Oscars, so it's kind of a big LOL that I ask him about the bullshit presenters that they scheduled versus the assault that happened. But you'll understand when you hear that. We also talk about one of the trash shows I'm watching on Netflix, which is all about Tyler Henry being a medium. And that inspires this week's Patreon bonus episode, which is this week's fight with me and Matt, my legal husband. Matt fully does not buy into mediums at all. I've checked out, I have tipped 20%. So we go into that. So if you want to join on the Patreon, it's patreon.com/gayasspodcast. All you do is you'll find the episode linked there. And when you click on that and do a little login moment, that Acast link will have the episode go straight into your podcast player of choice. Real cool. If you have a second, drop us a 5-star review with a cute love note there and follow us on Instagram at gayasspodcast. Enjoy this ep, and God, I love you so much. I have to say, in my excitement for having you on this podcast, I wrote a poem and I was wondering if I could read it out to you.
Oh my God, of course. That's so sweet.
Okay, this is the poem. Today I interview Droege, Drew, the man who makes me smile when I am blue. He loves golden girls, wears the shit out of pearls. Do you have any therapist referrals? Thank you.
I love it.
I'm just so happy you're here. I've been a fan of yours for years, and you are on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. And Make Gay Heart is saying thank you, gay gods, and thank you, gay god, Drew.
Thank you to my gay heart for having me on.
Such a dream. I have to say that I always envision you in like a gorgeous leafy print, and you delivered it.
Here we go. It's part of my rider. I have to wear some sort of pattern.
Your writer was extensive, you know. I thought the
and abusive. I'm sorry for how rude it is, but that's just who I am. I'm just doing
and it's
me,
not the first, you know, time I've been slapped by a PA, but I I want to say,
oh, Rachel did a good job. Good, Rachel. I'll give her $10.
I think she actually did an extra one just to make sure it was,
oh yeah. That's our girl.
where did you meet Rachel? She's so sweet.
Oh yeah, oh, in the slum yard.
Yeah, she was putting a car together or something like.
Yeah, she was putting a car together. I taught her how to speak English because she or speak at all. She was just a series of growls and
very very Lord of the Flies. First yes. of all, I want to tell you about that. What my entree was to you was, of course, the videos of you in full drag giving. How many videos did you do of Chloe's 7 year? Was it about 3,000? I mean, I think...
Yeah, I have no idea how many I've done. And I've been asked before, and I should go through and count them. Jim Hansen, who's the reason why the whole thing happened, because he's the greatest on earth. He had the vision to make these videos years ago, and he and I talked about it, and that I know he has them all like banked at a certain point that we could just go through and count them, but we've done some for like jobs and we've done some, but you know, I'm going to guess probably around 50.
Which is a lot.
Over 10 years 10 or 11 years that we've been doing them.
I every time I see you in something, I'm just like, you deserve, like you, the fact that you just got to do the Goldbergs, the fact that I got to like swoon over you as one of the wedding planners in Search Party.
Oh my God.
Is so fucking cool to have you here. Thank you. It's a dream. I have to say, one of my fantasies is for us to like one day have this like really gorgeous Joan Rivers style talk show, but it's only gays, view-esque. And I wanted to first jump into a pop culture.
Oh, a dream.
Here's the first pop culture panel I want to ask you about. They've recently revealed that the Oscars are having presenters, of some of which we can expect to have. We love having Tiffany Haddish. Elliot Page is going to be there. However, they also announced DJ Khaled, Tony Hawk, and I think the snowboarder, Shaun White. Drew, what's your takeaway? What do we think?
The Oscars is trying so hard to be young and hip and failing so miserably. They're also trying to appeal to a group of people who have never cared. The Oscars are gay men and straight women and movie people. Like, that's it. So stop with this, like, let's throw in some jocks and what the kids are. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then Rachel Zegler's not even invited.
I know. They just saw that, like,
and that's actually not the Academy, that is Disney's fault, because they do give a certain amount of tickets to a studio. So Disney is responsible for that.
They didn't invite Rachel as a part of the West Side Story entourage?
Right.
What?
Isn't that awful?
That is awful, because...
Can you imagine? You're like, I'm the lead in a movie that's nominated for Best Picture, in which my co-star is going to win Best Supporting Actress. We all know Ariana DeBose is going to win. And it's like, you're not going to have Rachel Zegler there? I mean, I would not be surprised if she shows up on Sunday, because there's been such a
Well, that's what I'm curious, because of the backlash. And Disney's been, she's been in some hot water with the...
She sure has been, as she should be.
I literally read this morning that in addition to the Rachel of it all, in addition to the don't say gay of it all, they also had some like cheerleading performance at their like Disney thing that they were doing. Their mascot is the Indians, and the call-outs were like... Scalp them like an Indian.
Oh, I heard about this.
Or like,
yes, exactly.
And then what?
You're like, really?
What I thought was so crazy about it is that Disney, of course, is like, we're looking into this. And then the high school group that does it every year, they're like, this is our eighth year doing this routine at Disney, and we say the same thing. So,
oh my God,
I think a lot of people are at fault.
Yes. Well, it's trickle down. I mean, you know, let's just be honest. Walt Disney was a Nazi, like, or at least a Nazi sympathizer. And, you know, but the thing is that it's so, I'm actually not, it's very easy for me to shit on Disney, because I'm not a Disney gay, but I have so much sympathy for there's so many in our community who love Disney.
Yeah.
And I love that they love it. I don't like shame them for loving it, but it's really hard when it's like the people that love Harry Potter.
Oh,
you're like,
God.
That's the thing that's my childhood. That's the thing that I love. I mean, I my childhood was like watching, you know, old actresses in the 70s smoke cigarettes, and you know, and that's what I was like, I want to be that, and success. But you know,
what if we found out that B. Arthur was like an anti-Semitic, like
would be
a
horrible.
Fucking monster? But there's no chance in hell. But like,
no.
I feel like we're getting into a place where everything you like is at one point going to be proven that they're bad people, and maybe. I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we have to do is allow space for people to be complicated and to say, okay, and that, you know, and we all have our own levels of what's cancelable and what's like, okay, I'm done with you. I can't like you anymore. But then there are the people that are like, I love their work, but they're kind of, and then there are people that I know that I've known, you know, that have one image as, you know, in public, and I know them to be kind of not that, but they're not canceled, but for the most part, they're you know, some people are kind of known as like super sweet, nice people, and then you kind of know them, like they're can be kind of awful, but yet they're not also not nice. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're complicated. People are a lot more complicated than we want to give them credit to be. We want to say, that's a good person, that's a bad person. And that's not fair. That's not human. You know?
There's a lot of gray area that I think, like, and I myself am a very black and white person. Like, I find, like, I'm either, like, really, some might call manic, or other times I'm, like, very depressed and lowly. I was literally just talking with our previous guest, the amazing Pat Regan, about, like, having a dep week, a depressed moment. And I actually think that part of the reason I was going through it is because my medication, speaking of therapy, I went up in a Lexapro dosage, and I was Googling, and I actually think it could have triggered more like anxiety and depression just as my body became accustomed to it.
Really?
I'm starting to definitely feel like I'm getting out of it and feeling better, but all this to say, like, I'm wishing there was more gray area in my life of, like, what if I just felt, like, pretty okay versus, like, trying to do a million things and feeling super productive or just wanting to lie on the couch and watch TV all weekend. I want there to be more of a middle ground.
Right. Well, I find, too, that I have to just be comfortable being uncomfortable and just feeling like I'm never doing enough. That's just kind of where I usually am at. And I'm like, I need to be doing this, I need to be doing that. And no amount of people telling me, like, oh my God, you're doing so many things, you're doing this and that, will solve that. I just constantly feel like but I have to kind of plan out time to watch a movie or go for a walk or take a nap. And that's just as valid as any sort of, like, work that I'm doing, because it's all adds up. And I think as creative people, we're constantly, we don't have that 9 to 5, oh, it's time to clock out. And now I go, it's like, it's all the time going. And I think we also just, like, we only see what everybody's putting out on social media. So we just constantly feel in competition with everybody, going, well, someone else is so much more productive than I am, so I should be doing this. And it's like, no, just, you know, relax, give yourself a break, take a day off.
Take a fucking break. I actually, this past weekend, was, like, feeling a little under the weather and just plus was just, like, needing a break. And I ended up sitting on the couch the majority of the weekend, watched way more TV than I've watched in a long time. And it felt so effing good to be like, you know what? For this one weekend, you're not going to tell yourself that there are so many more things you should be doing and, like, you're failing because you're not constantly putting things out or working on something. And I watched the trashiest thing I've watched in a long time, and I'll tell you right now, Drew, Tyler Henry, who was the Hollywood medium, he has a show on Netflix that is just like a new chapter in his life. He does, like, reading sessions, and it's called Life After Death. That's what it is. And what's so batshit about it is, not only is he just doing readings for random people around California, he's also following a plot point that they discover that his mother is not actually born to the parents she thought she was, and her mother, who she thought was her mother, was a murderer. And they're trying to now find out who his actual grandmother is. So it's giving true crime. It's giving seance. It's giving gay bleached hair. It's giving... And it's also, is it good? Like, not really. But I fully buy it. I'm very much an astrology girly. I'm very much, like, into the spirit world. I'm not even into the spirit world. I'm just like, he starts to sweat when he does it. He gives very specific information. People have quite emotional responses, and so I'm fully here for it. And I guess this whole thing is just me selling, if you want to watch something bad but good but bad.
Okay, I'm putting it down. Tyler Henry,
Life After Death. He's like a literal, like, 26 year old, like, medium who knew he was I'm gonna give away one spot that's just, like, a great example of his powers. During one of the first episodes, he's in school, and his teacher's mother-in-law had just passed away, I think. And basically, without giving too much away, all the class leaves, and he says, Mrs., we'll call her Norberry, which I think is Tina Fey from Mean Girls. He goes, Mrs. Norberry, can I tell you something? And she was like, sure, Tyler, what's up? And he goes, I just want to let you know that Lorraine says it's okay to cry. And she immediately starts crying. And she hadn't told anyone that the person had died. And so, and he was, like, in, like, very young age at this point. And so he was just starting to come to terms with his powers. Right. All this to say, it's, like, really great storytelling. And my husband does not care for it. He was out running an errand. So I was like, bleep, turn it on. And I watched it the entire day, just loving it.
Wow. No, I mean, I'm all for anything that's, like, you know, I mean, I'm fascinated by psychics. I feel like I have none of that ability, and but I believe that the ones that are good, you're like, there's, it's undeniable. There's some connection. They have a gift. They're an open channel to something that is, you know, and I, you know, for me, I also have that. I just connect with faith. I'm like, whatever gets you through the day, I support anyone in your faith and like what you believe and what you need to connect with. Cause it's, life is hard and nonsensical. If it helps you make sense of, you know, all of it, then.
Well,
absolutely.
I'm obsessed with on Twitter how you post co-star like things. I'm going to be honest. I thought they were real for a second.
They are. I mean, they are.
Every single one of them is real.
Every single one of them is real.
Drew,
I'm not kidding you. Go. Okay, so I don't know.
I was worried you were going to say that. So I wrote something down because I cannot believe something. Okay. You wrote one of the ones you got was, you're not as mysterious as you think you are.
Yes.
The other one was, I thought this one had to be fake. You said, your most annoying habit is your condescending tone.
Yes.
That was real?
That was real. That's what I get.
Oh my God.
On the app, I elected to download this app and have it on my phone, and it drags me on a daily basis. It will let me know. First of all, I laughed so hard at that, like, you're not as mysterious as you think you are.
Because
it's just
God.
Like, first of all, I've always laughed at people who think they're mysterious. I know I have a fuck ton of issues. Thinking I'm mysterious is not one. I'm like, oh God, I feel like I'm the most boring, like whatever. But like, it's like as if I had a fedora or something. Right. I'd be like, oh, I'm on a, you know, on a cliff.
What
and
is
it's
she
misty
thinking
and,
right now?
Oh, you'll never know. It's like, you know, and it really makes me, yeah, but that's all real. Like, and then, you know, I mean, hey, I will do it right now. I'm going to go on. I haven't looked at it today.
Please
I'm going to go
on, right
on
now.
And see how it's going to drag me today. Not always, but sometimes the do's and the don'ts are just so insane that they tell you. And it's like, one time it did tell me to wear a poet's hat. One of my do's was poet's hat. Okay.
I would love
okay.
To
know. Well, the headline for today is, and this will go back to what we were just saying. Nobody, not even you, is all lightness or all darkness.
Oh my God, that's actually kind of crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
I got a little bit of chilies.
Then let's see. Oh, see, sometimes the thing, it tries to say things like, you know, your feelings are out in the open, circle your flaws, you know, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Okay. Okay, so this is, it's always the icebreaker. They call them icebreakers, which they're, none of these are icebreakers. Like, that's also what cracks me up. But like, you're going to go to a party and meet people and say, hi, I'm not as mysterious as I think I am. Oh, I'm Drew, by the way.
Sorry, I'm Drew.
Sorry, I should have started. This one today, the icebreaker is, your comfort zone is outside the club arguing with the bouncer. So it's just like, I'm just like, I love to fight. I love to get into it.
Yeah,
no.
Who's the bouncer in that scenario?
Just, I guess, the world. I'm always outside of trying to get in and yelling at someone, trying to get in. I'm like, that's the least comfortable time in my
existence. Co-star thinks you are the most, like, annoying, vapid bitch who can't
do. Oh, absolutely.
Well, you know what's really dark about mine today is it says, not everyone has your best interests in mind.
Maybe it's your mysterious guest that is sending some nefarious haunts and spirits your way. Never
all of a
know.
Sudden, there's a pounding on my door. Like,
it's Rachel. It's my assistant.
It's Rachel. She slaps me again. I'm like, Drew, would you send Rachel back? And then she's like, me name Rachel. I'm like, oh, you're talking great, sweetie. She's like, me hate Tyler Henry. I'm like, okay, you're not.
Oh, she's listening outside. She's picking
yeah.
Up.
I'm like, Rachel, you're not on this episode. If you want to be a guest, I have a very strict process.
Oh, Rachel hates the camera. She's really camera shy.
Well, I think that maybe she's actually the mysterious person that you're
co-starring. Oh, there you go. There you go.
She actually wants to be in front of the footlights, which I guess makes her a usher if you're in front of the footlights. Anyways,
oh, that's right. Which we got okay. I just got to add this as well.
Please.
Going to the American Theater lately, which I'm so grateful to go back and see a play. I have to drag these ushers now who are standing in front of the stage. This happened twice. Two different big theaters. Ushers stand in front of the play that's happening with a wear your mask sign that they stand there.
Ew.
So you're trying to watch a play. Yes, I'm talking about you, the Geffen. And I'm trying to think of the other ones. I don't remember what the other one was, but it was at the Geffen, which is like, which was the play that was incredible. It's called Power of Sale, which is so good. Give you some good and some bad, but I could not handle that. I could not believe. I'm
what
trying to watch
are the
a play.
Signs?
It's
are
like a sign that's like someone's holding up a sign that just says "Wear your mask" throughout the whole show.
I'm picturing one of those like tongue depressors. Wait,
it is like a tongue depressor thing and like a circular one of those stupid paddle ball, you know, paddles. I don't know what things are called.
They're just holding a huge ping pong pad.
It's awful.
That is awful. I mean, you would also think that, like, as a theater, they would know that that would take you out of it every time you're, like, trying to look at the action.
If I was Bryan Cranston or any of those actors in the play, I'd be like, can this person not stand in front of the show?
Well, like, you know, there's also some usher that has a BFA that's trying to, like,
oh, 100%.
Stand a little too close to center.
Oh, I know,
exactly. They're
hitting
zero on the timeline, on the number line.
Ew.
You're thinking, it's so weird as we're going back to doing the things that we used to do and how things are changing. Like, I think some things have changed for the better. I think I socially am noticing more that I'm like getting a little more in my head about talking with people that I haven't, like in a party situation.
Yes,
I just went to a birthday party a few days ago and I was like trying to come up with questions that you're supposed to ask a new person you've never met. And so I was like, so where do you live? Like, and I was like, is that weird to ask them? Like, they're... where their place of residence is.
I find that too. I found that I'll be fine. I'm talking, we're clicking along, and then I will just stop. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I have nothing to say. I don't know what to ask. I'm super weird. But all of us kind of look down at the ground. And the only way I know how to handle it is just to acknowledge it and go, I'm sorry. And I like, is it COVID brain or what? I forgot. I don't, what were we talking about? And it's like,
I love that you acknowledge it though. I honestly, one of my biggest things lately is that I'm really trying to not be someone I'm not. And I want to just acknowledge what's around me. For example, like I think a lot of people, maybe just like in the industry or just in general, try to, like you're saying on social media, put out a certain image of themselves and like, I am so accomplished. I am so this. And so sometimes it's like the fake it till you make it is the way for you to get like achieve your goals in the world. But then the other part of it is your authenticity. And I want to just lean more into like, for example, like when I first started this podcast, I think a lot of it was like, I just want to, you know, tell people that it's amazing and it's going and it's huge and like, and then just it'll eventually happen. Versus I was just on Zach Noe Tower's podcast, which was like such a joy.
Oh, I love it. It's the most fun. Isn't it a great
show
to do? Yes.
Such a fucking good show. But he is so brutally honest about like where he's at and it inspired me to be like, you know what? I, of course, have certain things I'm proud about, but like you do, like in like a social situation, just like COVID brain, what was I saying? Like that is the most endearing connecting thing versus just like, excuse me, I just,
right.
Look over there. It's like,
it must be your fault. It's certainly not me.
Right.
You know, whatever. I feel like it's, I will say a lot of it has been like in the last 2 years of whatever, it's sort of just acknowledging the vulnerability and the humanity and all of this has like gotten so much more like important. So we can go, but also I think a lot of it, you know, it's for me, it's like getting older and you're kind of like, I now, when I work with directors who say, I don't know, I go, oh, I like that. Like I go, oh, good. You know, I sort of, I respect when people are just honest, like you were saying with that, the authenticity, absolutely. Because I appreciate that so much more than like, I'm amazing. I'm the shit. You're welcome to meet me. Da 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 da. And it's like, because I know where that's coming from. I know that's deep insecurity. And I know that people really want to, they fake it till they make it. And that's great. And I don't know. I think it's just, it's exhausting. And it's also not real. And it's like, who cares? And what's great is when you just kind of like, you don't care as much. You're just sort of like, I fuck up. I'm not always great. I don't handle things great. I, you know, sometimes I might say an awkward thing in a situation and I try not, it's so hard because especially I say all that on the other end, like being away from people for so long, I wrote so many narratives of people that were mad at me. Like sitting on my couch, I was like, oh, they, I haven't heard from them in a while. I probably was weird last, like I just created like, which I realize is like sheer egomania. Like they're not thinking about you, Drew. Like they're not, like, so let it go. And like, they may have been weird about a certain, you know? And so a lot of it is just kind of, all I can do is go, hey, sorry, blah, 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 and then moving on. Like, I'm not going to feel terrible about it, but I will acknowledge.
I think the theme right now is, like, keep it moving, like, which means like keep the thoughts moving out of our heads, keep the ego of like, I'm fucking this thing up, you know what, just like have the thought, keep it moving. I'm having like with the social things, I'll walk away and be like examining everything I said, what was okay, what was not, and I just gotta keep it moving, just go on, like, and now go to the next thing and like, yeah, watch my Tyler Henry show and just like, and then keep it moving. But
and acknowledging, you're like, I like Tyler Henry, like sort of acknowledging like, this is what I'm a nerd about, and what are you nerd about? Like, you know, and that sort of thing too, as opposed to like, I got to keep up with what everybody's talking about and what everybody likes. Because there are plenty of things that like, I don't have any opinion about, and I'm sort of able. Oh, that's the other thing too. It's like, I feel like in my house growing up, it was always like you had to have an opinion about absolutely everything in my father's house in order to join a conversation, which trained really great improvisers for my brother and myself as well. Like, we were just like, make a choice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good or bad. Love it or hate it. And it's taken a lot for me to sort of acknowledge, like, I don't have to have an opinion about everything. Uh-huh. And I can literally go, oh, I don't know. And that's fine. End of discussion. And in this whole, a lot of it too is just like, what we're learning about. People who aren't white. People who aren't cisgender. People who aren't my experience. I don't have to weigh in on that. I don't have to say anything. And that's been like,
yeah,
so, it's so simple, yet it's so like, oh, I could just shut up. I don't have to go, here's what I think about blah, 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 blah. Because I feel like I got rewarded for that. And if I don't have anything great to say, or like different from what anybody other is going to say, like, who cares what I have to say about that?
Okay, since we're being honest, I put up a post because I just watched Minx on HBO Max, which I really it's really good.
Okay, I have it on, it's on my list of things.
It's really good. Oh, good. And I did this, and I enjoyed it, and then I posted that I enjoyed it, and then I had a thankfully like 3-minute thought where I was like, oh my God, this thing just came out. What if I love it and everyone else hates it? And now I'm telling all these people that like to watch this show that's like universally reviled. And then I was like, and then it proves that I have no taste. And then after the 3 minutes, I was like, shut the fuck up. No. It's like, keep it moving, girly. And just like enjoy. There's a bear shaft. It's giving period piece. It's giving like great character actress. It's giving
penises
30
of all
minutes.
Sizes and shapes. I've heard they're like all different sizes. A lot of penises.
It's great. You get such a gorgeous range of dick. And I'm like, you know what? These people, if anything, even if it's a poorly written show, they've seen a bunch of schlong. And who am I to like? that's a bad show.
No, I think you have to like what you like, and there's just no, because I post all the time about things that I really like, and there are people that will be like, what did you watch? I can't believe you liked that. And it's sort of like, just keep scrolling. I genuinely liked it. I'm going to post it if I like it.
Yeah.
There are things that I have a thing. I'm just going to be honest. I loathe that movie Coda.
Everyone's talking about it.
It's
why?
Awful.
I haven't seen it.
It's awful. It's just the most, it's just manipulative. It's probably going to win Best Picture. And that's the only reason. Oh, it probably will. I think I would bet that it will. And but it'll, because of the preferential ballot, the best movie never wins Best Picture anymore, because the way they do the ballot now, they make it impossible for an actually like challenging, smart movie to ever win, because it's always going to be polarizing. Like Silence of the Lambs, Midnight Cowboy, movies like that would never win Best Picture now, because there's always going to be a bunch of old codgers who are like, I didn't like that. Oh, it was a genre movie. No. But honestly, like, I have not seen Dune, but of all the other Best Pictures, Coda is hands down the worst choice to win, and it will probably win. But so is Green Book, so is Shape of Water. Like, these movies, this is just my opinion. I'm only saying all this because I only, like, shit on things that are, like, Oscar, like, conversation. I don't rag on anything that's, like, indie or like any, because it's like it is so hard to make something, and like if I don't like it, I mean, you and I hanging out talking, I'll tell you everything I think about whatever, but like I'm not gonna go on and say, I'm not gonna post online, I hated this thing that everyone else really likes, because that's, let people like what they like. I mean, it's like, I'm not right, we're not right or wrong, we're as correct as anybody else. It's just like 100%. Listening to a song. I like that song. I don't like that song. I like that painting. I don't like that painting. It doesn't matter, like, you know, because I've had, you know, some people will say to me, like, well, I don't know anything about comedy or acting, so you must know more than me. I'm like, no, I don't know more than you. I mean, your opinions are so valid for you, you know?
100%.
So I, you know, I think it's like, you know, but also I'm all about, I didn't post a lot of personal stuff during, because I don't, mainly because I didn't think I had a lot of interesting things to share. I was kind of like sitting on my couch like everybody else. But I did post a lot about movies that I was really enjoying or things that I found, because I'm like, if you're looking for something, watch this. And, you know, I think some people were, you know, sort of like, I don't know, but if they didn't like the movie or whatever. But to me, it's sort of just like, just spread the love. I'm not going to post about when I don't like something, because that's just like, who cares? You know,
I 100% agree with that. I think it's like they're like you saying about it's so hard to get things made. It's also, you don't know who was involved in the making of it. And like,
absolutely.
I think it's just, that's actually what sometimes bugs me about people who are so vocal when they do hate things. And then, and they don't understand what goes into the creation of it. And then it's like,
right.
If only, I mean, it just goes for so many industries that people don't get, like even something as dumb as like, being in a commercial,
right,
and then someone kind of passing judgment like that you were in a quote-unquote dumb commercial. It's like, do you also know that like that commercial is the only reason why I could like pay for like living and then
my health insurance?
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, it's
but I am interested when you're talking about the house you grew up in, like all the opinions. I want to hear about this upbringing, but also I want you to answer this question that this podcast forces our guests to answer, which is,
oh, I love
whose
it.
Fault is it that you're gay, Drew? Who do we blame?
Oh my God. I think, you know, when I think about, my mom has told me that when I was like 3 years old, I went up to her cousin and I said, I love your plum sweater. Three.
You were 3 years old when you said that?
It was plum. It was plum colored. And I said, I love your plum sweater. And then what were some other things? There were just, my mom was like, there were so many things. I remember too, when I was in second grade, we had an intramural soccer team. And I remember going home and telling that there was a girl on my team who looked like Eartha Kitt. And I was like, she looks like Eartha Kitt. And in my memory, she did, because I was watching Batman.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I do think that the Batman, the 1960s Batman show, was very responsible for my queer, you know, formation. Because it was always on reruns. It was always in like, I don't know what channel it was on. And this would have been like the 80s for me. And it would have been like, I loved the campiness of it. When Batgirl was on, it was 10 million times better.
Is Batgirl the one with, oh my God, what's her name?
Yvonne Craig?
Yeah. It's interesting because Batman, I feel, not only a 1960s one, but just like superheroes in general, it comes up so much on this podcast. There's, because of the campiness, I think there's like such a gay person. Like, I want those sparkly things.
Yes, there was that. I definitely was like, for all that, the camp, the drag of it all. Yeah. I was obsessed with Cesar Romero's Joker, like his beard coming through the makeup. And there was something like, and I also loved horror. So I loved, the Thriller, Michael Jackson's Thriller video, I watched constantly. Freddy Krueger at a very young age. I had a Freddy Krueger poster over my bed. My bed was Freddy Krueger and Frankenfurter over my bed. Like I loved that camp drag monster connection. Like I was.
Were you also like a Sweeney Todd stan? There's like a darkness here that I'm getting.
Yeah, I love Sweeney Todd, but I didn't really come into that until I was an adult. Like I didn't really get that until I was an adult. But yeah,
where,
I mean,
so I'm picturing the plum comment. Where, just so I can fill the colors in, where in the country did you grow up?
That would have been in South Carolina.
Okay.
And like, I grew up mainly in North Carolina, but Carolina is pretty much.
So do you, was there a bit of a Southern drawl when you said that as a 3-year-old?
Oh, I'm sure.
I love
your plum sweater, Jeannie.
Oh, Jeannie, I love your plum sweater. Do you want to come in here for a hibiscus tea, girly? I'm picturing the 3-year-old you, like, elbows out, wrists sort of bent.
Oh, 100%. I was very about, like, I've always been kind of a slob. I wouldn't say it was about manners, but I was very much, like, social manners were very important to me. And, like, growing up, that was a very big deal.
Did you do the, what's it called when you, like, take classes about...
100%.
Being...
Junior Assembly? Yeah. Or Junior Cotillion?
Cotillion?
Yeah, we sure did.
I never did that. I remember being in high school and like, or whatever it was, and seeing that people did that. And I was like, I think even not being out, but knowing my own gayness, I was like, can you imagine being told what to do? Like, that just, like, I felt like rebellious of cotillion.
Oh, I hated it so much. And it was like all the thing about, like, take the chair out for your date and, like, you know, which I never do. I remember having to learn the cha-cha, and they always played La Isla Bonita. That would always be Madonna's La Isla Bonita would be playing. Well, we learned that. And then I remember the very attractive husband and wife. They were both, they looked like Barbie and Ken. They both were like blonde. He was hot and just like coiffed blonde hair, very quiet, gorgeous. She was just like loud, thin, blonde, and mean in that very specific type of Southern mean girl that that shows up and kind of does that, like, Drew, what are you doing here? This is weird that you're here. Ew. Oh, that kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about. That kind of
visceral reaction. Yes.
Yes. And you're just sort of like, I don't belong. And you're mean. And you think I'm cute because you can feel the gay off of me, even though I don't know that about me yet. But I'm like, kind of, I don't matter. And I'm kind of a child. And we know we have, you know, let's just call it women that treat us like that all the time anyway. But, you know, that sort of weird thing where you're sort of like, why am I a baby when you talk to me? It's strange. But I remember that's how she'd be. And I remember this as well when it was just my like little clocking characters at a young age. My parents were late in picking me up one night from the thing. And I remember I was waiting with her. I don't remember her name, but I remember she said, why don't you come and wait for us in the BMW? And I remember as an eighth grader being like, you had to name drop that you have a BMW. That is so gross. You are so tacky. And that tacky clocked into my early mind of like, oh, what kind of a person has to tell a kid, come sit in our, not come sit with us in the car, but come sit in the BMW.
This woman needed to feel validation from a gay 14-year-old waiting outside Cotillion. You know, I know this movie was problematic, but she reminds me of Bryce Dallas Howard's character in The Help. That was like the, I think that was Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard. Yeah, yeah. She was great.
Yeah, she's like, she was such a good villain, but just like, I am just putting up appearance. Like, that to me is that character.
She was perfect, and that is exactly like, and I think maybe why, and we don't, you know, but like that, I get why that movie is problematic, but I also think as someone who grew up in that world, I felt it very authentic in a lot of ways, in ways that we may not want to admit that her character and Jessica Chastain's character both were people that I really, really knew, you know, and that was a whole generation obviously before me, but like that exists, that sort of, those like Reese Witherspoon character, like those people who, that those kind of roles, like, that like tri-delt, you know, girl who just, you know, yeah, it's a very specific type of Southern mean girl.
It's really, it's so funny, like the different mean girls by region, like California has a different type. I grew up in the Midwest, which has a different type. I feel like Midwest and Southern can have some similarities, but I think I really have gone back and forth lately thinking about like how my past dictates my present and my future, like what I carry trauma wise. And I partly think it's a huge reason why I live in New York for many years. I just moved here. And I think it's partly why I live surrounded by like-minded people, because it's almost an act of rebellion from the Bryce Dallas Howard characters of The Help, of just like, aren't you so cute being here at Cotillion, you fucking faggot? It's like,
100%.
Where did that come from?
I totally, completely get that. Yes.
So I'm curious, when you, do you look back on those times and were you feeling like knowing your queerness and then like so desperate to get out of that place, or were you more at peace with it?
I think I was at peace with it / didn't know it at the same time. Wasn't fully aware of it. I was fully tapped in with having a New York Magazine subscription when I was eighth, ninth grade, and reading about New York theater and underground, and reading about people who now are friends of mine, colleagues of mine. And, you know, I would read about Charles Bush. I would read about Jackie Beat. I would read about people like doing these shows in the Village. And, you know, I was also calling Samuel French and Dramatist Play Service every to try to request plays. And cause I was really active in our community theater. Like I was that little homo, yet I didn't know. And I was being told every single day that I was gay. But I didn't know that I was really until college. And so like I had this long period, but I, but what was crazy was that I was very supported within my family and I had a, I had great friends. I learned how to make people laugh. And so I was pretty popular. I did well in school. Like I was the overachiever. I was like the, you know, but I was not at all sexual. I was just like, you know, I knew how to like give them the non-threatening version of myself before I even knew who that really was or what that really was about. So I was very unaware of that. I think I was like in total, you know, protection mode of myself, just to sort of be like, this is how you survive. But I always knew I was going to leave. I always knew I was going to either live in LA or New York.
Did you then have your first boy kiss when you left the Carolinas?
No, that would have been in college. And I was in, I went to college in North Carolina. So,
Do you remember who you first kissed?
You know, I, you're somebody who's saying first kiss. I'm assuming it was the first guy that I hooked up with. It must have been because I think I was so disconnected from that. I had kissed a few girls and weirdly, I got a girlfriend after I, my first time I had sex was with a man, but a guy, say a man, it sounds so weird, but going back to that time, but then I had a girlfriend after that for a while. But wow. That would have been when I was 18, first time I kissed a guy.
Oh, wow.
Magic.
I mean, it is magic. Just when you know you're actually kissing the person you actually, or just
you're like,
the type.
Oh, this is. But if, even then, first time I was like, oh, this is, what am I doing? Is this right? Is this weird? You know, all that stuff that you have to
I literally shed years of body image dysphoria the second a guy liked the hair on my chest. I was like, wait a minute, this isn't disgusting. And it was like a revelation. It was like, I think the whole Disney conversation too with the don't say gay things, it's becoming so clear from the shittiness of that whole situation in Florida. What's becoming clear is like, oh, wait a minute. And this is separate from the fucking hair conversation, but just like the thing, like, okay, let's say we tell children that two dads can exist, two moms can exist. Like just the knowledge of what is out there and is okay would take away so many years of pain. So like to bring it back to this is like, if I was told that it's okay to be like what you are, which is like a nerdy, too tall for your age, gay Jew with a lot of body hair. Like if I was just like, oh yeah, like look at Andy Cohen before he shaved his chest. Like look at whatever it is. It's like, oh, okay, it's okay to be certain ways. I'm not being very eloquent, but it's just like I think the existence and the acknowledgement of these things at this young age, it saves so much fucking pain.
Absolutely. And it's also, you know, the more that we can, you know, start to accept the broad strokes of like, oh, you have two daddies, whatever, then you can go within and go, I can accept this part of myself. Like on top of it, like when being gay, like overshadows everything, you know, you haven't even started to unpack your own sort of body, body hair, my weight, my height, my everything about ourselves that we kind of go, is this okay? Is this something that, you know, we're walking balls of insecurity anyway, like even if, you know, and so it's just like, it's one less thing. And it's also just like, it's so ridiculous at this point that people are just like, don't say it. And that'll make it go away. So dumb.
Did you see the Melissa McCarthy video where she was like chanting about?
I did. Yeah, I saw it.
I mean, listen, we know that Melissa McCarthy loves the gays. We 100%. Know that we love Melissa McCarthy.
And well, oh, I think that's, absolutely.
And I think that's all we really need to say, and that I hope one day I can be that famous to do that of an out-of-touch message. Like that's, yeah. At the end of the day, that's everyone's
It was
goal.
A very, yes. And again, I mean, I know and love her. I can't say it. I mean, I haven't seen her in a million years, but yeah, I go back. I've known and loved Melissa for years because we were in with the Groundlings, and
oh my god,
I adore her, and she's amazing, and she's always been so great to me. And again, like, oh, Always. I used to go to Akbar. We would go to, I've been like, you know, she's very
Are
much.
Are you kidding me? To be at a gay bar with Melissa McCarthy?
Yeah, I mean, a million years ago. Oh, God. Oh, God. I could live, Sherry. I don't know if I've ever said this, but anyway, but I know, I, for the record, I adore her. I did see that and I was, it was jarring because of that. I think, because I'm like, what are you doing? But I also, I wonder too, like, if it's like in between doing a million other things,
yes,
it's like, oh, somebody goes up there and goes, there's this happening in Florida. She's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go out in my yard and do this thing and jump around. And millions of comments. Thank you, Melissa. We love this. It's great. So she got to a lot of people, you know?
Yes.
I would say my mother would watch that and go, I love Melissa. She just gets better. Like my mother would applaud that. And so I think it's for that.
I think also,
I was like, really, I found it really strange. I just would never, I'm just going to put it this way. I would never jump around in my backyard and scream about a minority that I'm not a part of in support of them. You know, it just sounds right. A little bit that's, like, why you would you do
nailed,
that?
You nailed what it's why it was just a little like in question mark. I think that if she is, if I'm anything like her, what I think could have also happened is to your point of like someone was like, this is happening. And I partly think I'm so impressionable that if someone were like to pitch me like, and what if you did this with the pride flags? And I'd be like, oh, cute. Okay. You think that's good? And they'd be like, oh, yeah. And if someone like was confidently pitching me the idea, I'd be like, I mean, of course. And then I would do it.
Absolutely. And you also, you know, you're at a point where no one's going to tell you, hey, this is a bad idea. And that's terrifying to me. I always hope to have someone near me go, Drew, no, 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 no. And
I've had a couple of moments like that recently where like the pitching of an idea is like, are you crazy? And I'd be like, okay, fuck me for being an angel. Like I just, I realized that, but you're right. If I was yes-anded every waking minute, I would turn into Rachel. Oh, I said her name was.
My crazy assistant. Yeah. With the idea that I would have, bless her heart, what could I pay this poor person? Anyway, English lessons, that's what I pay her in. No, yeah. I just think, yeah, you get to a point where you, I think too, like, obviously if she said something or anybody says something that would be homophobic or, you know, like, or whatever, it would be, we would all come out in droves and be like, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. And she never would. I know that, of course. So her heart was in the right place. It's just something that, like, it's sort of like when you're, you know, you're dealing with like the Imagine video, I'm sure all of them were like, I'm positive. They all were like, this is great. And we're doing it. Yeah. But I think a lot of it too is like, we're sort of learning of like, don't like show Ukraine footage and then showing cut to yourself crying about it. Like, we're all upset about it. We're all terrified. We all give our love and our heart. We all are trying to do the best we can. Mm-hmm. So your intentions are good, but you're making it about you. You're now making this about, look how what I'm doing for this thing versus what are you actually
look at the
doing?
Thing. Or yeah, right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And we also, there were plenty of other people. Kathy Bates was on Twitter just writing gay everywhere.
Gay.
Audra McDonald was singing gay, 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 gay. And I'm like, I know they're all, these are people I love. Right. I love Audra McDonald and Kathy Bates, adore them. And I don't love them any less for doing this, but it's a little bit like, also, I think people forget that was the thing that we were yelled at on the schoolyard. That was the thing that we were thrown in trash cans and said to us before we knew we were gay. So I had people saying, you're gay, you're gay. And now
our heroes are screaming it at us.
Right. And so it's a thing where they don't remember that part of it. They don't remember the part of it, or because they didn't experience it. They didn't go through that. And in their mind, they were like,
there's the double-edged sword.
They love, so I'm sure in their hearts, they were like, oh, they've always loved gay people. So for them, they're like, great. But I had people coming up to me when I was a kid saying, just admit it. You're gay. It's wonderful. Oh. And I wasn't ready to do that yet. That's the thing, too, that people go, why is it such a big deal to come out of the closet? Which gay people do. The second they come out of the closet, they turn around and go, oh my God, so-and-so's closeted. Oh my God. But you're like, you immediately forget how hard it is to do that. So it's this kind of, it taps into a lot of things.
It really, God, that's so fucking smart because I do think people, A, gay people forget how hard it is. B, the people that we love around us that want to support in any way, and whether it's the Audra McDonalds of like the legends we love or just literally are like, families or close friends. I've been having this lately with some people close to me that's like trying to explain what it was like growing up gay and closeted, and also living a life now that's like, I have a husband, I live in a place I love, I have these things that I'm so proud of and grateful for, but it doesn't negate the difficulties, A, of what we went through growing up, but B, of the things you still go through with, like, just the difficulty out of, like, let's say I want to have children, or let's say I want to do anything. It's like, it's sometimes it can be difficult to, like, just say, you know what, it's really different and really hard, and I have no way that I can explain this to you except just by telling you that it is. And and that's sometimes, I think, if I'm being honest, that can be one of the isolating things about growing up queer in a place that is not teeming with queer people, because that loneliness is one of the reasons why I think it's tough to come out, that we do forget about, because you realize that when you do, no one's going to actually understand A, the difficulty, B, what you've been through, and C, what you need to hear when you come out.
At 100%. Also, I would say, I think a lot of the isolation is actually great in a way, and the loneliness is actually something that I think we can embrace as part of the experience, that you kind of say, and I remember saying this one time to my family, like, I think I said this to my mom about, like, and I don't know if, it, but I basically said, there's a loneliness that I love about it, and that I've had to learn to love, because otherwise it can drive you crazy, but it's something you can never really experience with somebody else. And it's as kids are getting more and more accepted for their sexuality and their gender identity, which is obviously a wonderful thing, they're going to have to find that loneliness and that otherness somewhere. And I think that's important for them not to think, I'm just like everybody else. Because we're going to have a lot of little gay assholes running around, like we don't already, who are just going to be like, you know, and it's like, I don't think you should be thrown in trash cans. I don't think you should be called fag every day, but you need to realize you are different. And that's incredible. That's beautiful. That's special.
Yes. See, when you first said like that, grow to like the loneliness, I was like, I almost had a visceral response of like, but I don't want to feel alone. And then I'm realizing what you're meaning is like, it's harnessing the power of, of being an other, and then using that as your strength and learning to like harness that in a really powerful way, which I 100% agree with.
But that's very hard to explain to anybody, or even like amongst ourselves, other than we just kind of know it amongst ourselves. We kind of go, that's the thing. Because, you know, I also feel very lucky, and I look back on my life. I had a gay best friend since I was five. I moved around. And every single place I lived, I had a best friend. We never told each other we were gay. Now I'm friends with almost all of them still.
Oh.
And we had each other. And I'm so grateful for that, because we would sit and watch Elvira together, or we would watch Hairspray, or we would watch Clue, or whatever. Yeah. It'd be like the points of connection that we had that so powerful. I'm so grateful for that.
I want to do something right now. You are bringing up, I had a best friend growing up that is also gay, and we did not come out to each other until later in life. And I want us to both close our eyes right now and say a prayer to every other person out there. I'm a priest right now, a Jew priest.
Right.
May every queer person from near and far have a gay best friend or something like thar, who tells them what to watch, to wear, and to see. And then when they come out, they say, "Hey, girly." Amen.
I thought you were going to say, then they say, "Hey, let's watch Glee."
Let's watch another TV show by Ryan Murphy. And then you're like, oh my God, this American Horror Story blows. And then we post it on Insta Stories.
There you go.
Okay, wait, with that, I want to ask another gay question on this pod, which is, if the world was ending and you could only save one character actress, Drew, who would you save?
Oh, my first choice, Diane Wiest.
Oh, Diane Wiest. Delicious.
Love me some Diane Wiest. I always
What's the first movie of hers that when, if someone's like, Diane Wiest, who is that? What's the first movie you tell them that they need to watch that's hers?
Oh, well, I would say Hannah and Her Sisters. is she's incredible in that. But the first one that I fell in love with her, Parenthood, because I grew up watching that movie forever, and I just was obsessed with that mother, that whole character. I wanted a broken, dysfunctional family like that. I was bored at my love. I'm so grateful for the family that I have now. But growing up, I was like, I want to be like abandoned, or like, I want like a single mom. I don't know. I mean, I'm horrible to
I
say that,
material.
But like,
material. I need write like about?
Grit, yes. You know, and I always, there was something about, and then obviously Edward Scissorhands, and like, there was always like, Diane Weiss has this, just this innate ability. She comes out and you're like, I'm just fascinated by her. I love
I
her
watched
so much.
Edward Scissorhands too late in life, and I really was obsessed with it. The other Diane Weiss, like the second you said her name, I couldn't help but bring up Practical Magic, because she and Stockard Channing are the witches, and there was something so like, I think witches are so inherently gay, like
100%.
And why do we think they're so, like, why are gay kids like,
Oh, because, it's spells, it's potions. Uh-huh. First of all, it's powerful women, mm-hmm. you know, usually. I mean, there are warlocks, of course, you know, but, yeah, I think it's just like, there's also, it's you know, forces of evil have come again. They're using their powers to, like, you know, overcome, you know, and they're like, I'll get you back. How many of us dreamed of like going home and making a potion for the bully and putting it as milk at school the next day or whatever? Like, it's that sort of, we love the like poison in a ring sort of, like, you know, that thing we love.
We also love cooking and making a powerful drink.
Yeah, 100%. Ding, ding. And we love the drag of it. We love the pointy hats and the capes and the cauldron that bubbles and the, you know.
I'm picturing, obviously, Bette Midler in Hocus Pocus. I'm picturing Angelica Houston in 100% the Witches. I'm picturing, who else are like really good witches?
Witches of Eastwick. Have you seen the Witches of Eastwick?
Yes, I've seen Witches of Eastwick.
Come on, those three.
Yeah, God, yeah. I mean, I loved magic growing up. I just loved,
me too.
Like,
yeah.
There was, I mean, I did read like Chronicles of Narnia, but mm-hmm. I also read Same. Like, there are all these other, like Roald Dahl, like obviously the witches, but also like, there's just any magic book I was like so deeply obsessed with.
Did you ever read the Wizard of Oz books? There were like, so 25 or more books.
I am married to someone who is very obsessed with The Wizard of Oz. I'm pretty sure he has. I never watched it, but we have hanging in. We have like Wizard of Oz stuff. We have ruby slippers that he bought from a person who specializes in recreating them in like the most accurate way. And he still won't tell me how much he spent on them.
Oh,
he bought them
I
like
imagine.
7 years ago. But to answer your question, no, I've never read the books.
Okay, there are like, I want to say this is the nerd of me coming out. I'm not, but I think there were like 14 of them that L. Frank Baum wrote. Mm-hmm. And then there was a woman who picked up and did a bunch after that. And I remember loving those. And there was just like, and also Return to Oz, the really dark, really fucking scary. And that was when I was a child. That came out in 85, I want to mm-hmm. say, when I would have been 8. So it would have been the perfect time for me to, you know.
Listen up. Zach Noe Towers and I just spoke about that movie because I wasn't sure if I've seen it. I maybe have, but we're going to be doing some sort of movie night watch party, and I'm inviting you, and I would love
100%,
to have you there.
I'm there. I want to come.
Oh my God, I can't fucking
Mumbi,
wait.
Remember Mumbi, and she has the Hall of Hell, the heads that she puts on different people's heads?
Yes.
I mean, that is drag. That is like, of course, we respond to that. We go, oh my God, I love that.
I think that is such a good answer, though. Diane Weiss is really a delicious character actress to save. I also want to tell you that a few guests ago, we brought up Wendy McClendon Covey, who I was shot with on the Goldbergs, and that was a character actress we gave a lot of love to. So
I would absolutely save Wendy McClendon Covey any day of the week.
Yeah, incredible, incredible.
She's one of my favorite people. She's one of the most down-to-earth, like, I mean, aside from her insane talent, she's one of the most real human beings you'll ever meet. Like, she's born and raised in Long Beach. She still lives there. She's still, like, in touch with her high school friend. Like, she's my idol. It's like, she's had so much success in L.A., and yet has always had 2 feet on the ground and just, like, will tell you exactly what's going on. There's never That's any the sense dream. Of phoniness That's the with her. Dream. She's truly one of the best people ever. And so, she's so
let me
funny.
Ask you. Let's say if you're like hanging out with Wendy, you were having our watch party. Do you have a? Are you a sober person? B. Do you prefer a drink? C. Do you like a smoke? Do you when you're really trying to relax? What do you go into?
I am definitely not sober. I love the cocktails, and I love the weed. I like whiskey. I mean, I usually like a whiskey thing, or I like it very boozy. I like it very like not very sweet. So I love like any sort of Manhattan old fashioned Boulevardier. I also love Negronis. If it's going to be like a gin thing, I love that. I love martinis. Anything like that. Old fashioned.
Classy bitch.
Old classy bitch. And then
I love your plum sweater.
A plum sweater and a fridge martini. And then I've gotten really into the edibles because I stopped smoking. Every now and then I'll occasionally have like a cigarette, or I'll smoke a vape, or I'll occasionally, but I don't have I cough so much now when I smoke anything. So I prefer the edibles. I also get used to how strong they are. So a lot of times I smoke and cough and I don't really get that high because I'm having these 10 milligram edibles that just make you like, you know.
Oh, full 10. That's hot.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to have the Return to Oz party. And let's I'm going to be rolling on an edible.
Cocktails
and edibles. And yeah, it's a date. Before we sign off, I want to ask you a question I did not prep you on, which is, Drew Drogi, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
The best Whoopi Goldberg film? Oh my God, there's so many. I'm going to say, because I just have to qualify because I know there have been so many. Like my initial thought is Soap Dish, which I do love the movie, and I will defend it. I know it's problematic, and that's a whole different podcast to talk about that. And I love The Color Purple in terms of like best movie she's in and Ghost and all that. But I'm going to say, because of my childhood, is Jumpin' Jack Flash.
It's recently been brought to my attention that Jumping Jack Flash is a movie that I need to watch. I haven't seen
it. You may hate. Okay, here's the thing. I did make people watch it recently. And it doesn't quite hold up. It's very dated. It's very 80s in terms of she starts an online. It's the first movie where there's an online relationship. She's talking to somebody on the computer. But it's 80s speed of typing letters and you're seeing them type. And it's very maddening to watch it now. You're like, oh my God, it feels like it's like Horse and Buggy days where she's like talking to Jonathan Pryce through a computer.
It's but like watching someone dial one of those phones.
Yes, and you're going, get to it, we get it.
Yeah.
But I will say, it was her first breakout big. It was right after Color Purple, which is like they could not be different movies at all, like more different movies. Mm-hmm. She's genuinely heartbreaking. There's a scene where she like gets stood up at dinner with breadsticks, and people that know the movie know what I'm talking about. And she breaks my heart every time I watch it. I love her in it. She's so funny. There's hilarious stuff in it. There's an amazing Diana Ross with a dress involving a paper shredder that's delicious. Highly recommend it. And it's an amazing supporting cast of like Carol Kane and John Lovitz and Lynn Stewart and Phil Hartman and all these amazing people are in it.
Listen, if Carol Kane's in it, they're saying no more.
Oh, you got to watch.
So that is such a good pitch. I will be watching this. I cannot thank you enough for coming on That's a Gay Ass Podcast, Drew.
Thanks
you
for
are
having me.
One of my favorite people, and I just can't wait to see you for our watch party and to have you back for a reunion episode one day.
Welcome to town. I'll see you I definitely want to do the watch party. It'll be so much fun.
Done.
Friend of the Pod Productions.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.